You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yeah. 2024.
Let's go.
The 2024 Cooligans gonna be a little different than 2023 Cooligans.
Yeah, dude. How though?
Probably not much. Yeah. Okay, you know, we gotta still make you feel like it's you're at home. You
yeah, 100%. We changing, bro. Our New Year's resolution is to do the same thing over again.
Okay. All right. Because you know what? We know that we can meet those resolutions.
100%. I could fail in the same capacity.
We're not going to pressure ourselves too hard to meet some standard that the internet is telling us we have to meet.
Wow, you trying to change us, bro? Damn.
As always, welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
To the Cooligans podcast. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, everybody.
We are here. Yes, we, you know.
We got Miguel still in the building.
Still here. Survived the new year.
Miguelito back from La República Dominicana.
Yes.
He was out there, you know, dancing with El Alfa.
What?
Wow. I hit it. If I had a camera, you could see I'm doing a little dance.
He was doing a little salsa over there, bro.
So it's great to see. He has a nice tan. Mm. He is living up to the Miguelito name.
I know. Yes. I'm doing it more, cosplaying as Miguelito.
He was like, bro, let's do the show, but also have some plátanos.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go. All right.
Bro.
De lo mío.
De lo tuyo.
There's a lot to cover today. We've been off for the holidays of a little over 2 weeks.
It felt like about a month and a half, did it not?
It's been a long time. People miss us. Okay.
No, it's about time.
They miss our
we got back on your ears and in your eyes.
Our fun, educated banter on the world of football.
They're like, yo, all these other podcasts are giving us facts and stats.
Mm-mm.
Where's the bits?
Okay. We need more bits, folks.
Well, that's why we're here, everybody.
Okay, we were out here sharpening the bits to get them ready for you. But yes.
I put mine in a bit sharpener. I didn't want to do it myself. You
know what I mean? Happy New Year. I hope, everything, all your dreams come true for 2024.
Not all of you, because some of their dreams might counteract some of our dreams, you know? What if someone else out there, like, we want to be the number three comedy soccer podcast? I'm like, yo, that's ours,
that's
bro.
Our spot. You ain't taking it from
nah,
us. Okay,
man.
So just make sure.
We in the Champions League, though.
Just make sure your dreams don't coincide or interfere with our dreams. That's
right,
all.
Like my mother used to say, your liberty stops where mine starts. And I don't think that's how the Constitution
damn,
works.
Damn, Mom, I can't believe. Were you one of the founding fathers?
Damn. Sorry, Senora Hancock.
Moms, hey, you know moms be.
Yo. Damn.
Just spitting absolute truth, knowledge bombs.
Right? Or self-made facts.
Okay. Is your mom Cat Williams?
Yo.
spin all this truth?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Club Chris over here.
Okay, we got to rebrand sometimes. Yo. All right? We got to wear the tightest pants.
Bro.
And put our legs on the desk.
From the neck to the ankles, it is paint.
I started
listening to the episode.
I listened to a lot of it. My main question, why does it feels like Shannon Sharp is wearing the tightest pants over his arms? You know what I mean?
Just,
bro, why so tight?
Why is everything so tight? So I'm listening to it because I got a long drive from Stanford back. So here's the thing that I keep enjoying is every time Cat Williams is like, that's like people taking steroids can't talk to me about being a good player. And I'm like, do you see how big Shannon Sharpe is, man? You think this is natural?
My man is like 55. Yeah. He's maintaining all that muscle.
And he's the size of that the big ass chair he's in.
Shannon Sharpe is like, yeah, that's crazy, bro. Yeah,
who would do that? That's crazy.
Not this guy. Yeah.
Can we stop giving him cognac, please? He keeps talking about steroids.
And entertaining interview, but my man just Cat Williams can burn it all down.
He don't care.
He don't care.
He's still gonna do arenas,
exactly, bro.
Bro.
So that's the kind of success we need, bro.
Yes,
we can just be absolutely just you know egregious.
Oh, could you imagine?
And there's no consequence.
Not with this TV bag. family friendly.
Okay, who's what's his name? Dana White. It's like that's like he's. It's just like, my man should have been canceled immediately, but I guess, no, he's not. He's uncancelable.
Also, all his friends fight, so I'm not saying anything.
Soccer, everybody. A wild last few weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Boxing Day, the festive fixtures.
Do we have to talk about soccer? Because Arsenal's not having a good.
Arsenal aren't playing football. They're playing soccer out
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need you to play footy.
So, we'll give a nice little recap and see sort of where we are in the Premier League. We obviously have to all the off-season transfers that are already going on in Europe, in Major League Soccer, in NWSL, the super teams being built out here in NWSL.
Real McGotham? Is that what we're going to talk about?
We call them the Galacticos.
Yeah, Galacticos, bro.
So... we'll get to all that.
Barcelona over here, they got going on.
Bro, fascinating.
Bro. Bayern Munich.
I think we should just get progressively worse. Every single
I was actually trying to figure out, what's the dumbest one I can do with Bayern Munich?
Gothamton? No, don't build that one.
God, no.
Don't do that one.
Sean Dyche. No, thank you.
So, okay. So let's just talk about and just see where we are in the Premier League and just take a quick
Goth check. Manchester City.
Let's see where we are. Liverpool, the top four, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Man City, and Arsenal in fourth.
No, City ain't even play a game. How they hop over?
They were playing the Club World Cup.
It was in a whole other stratosphere, dog.
How you on top of Arsenal when you in another time zone?
Yo, how you winning a trophy over there and beating us over here?
Before Christmas, Arsenal were at the top of the table. Now they are in fourth, sitting on 40 points, and Liverpool is in first with 45. And so the run of form has been bad.
Very eloquently.
You know what?
Said.
This is why you come here for the
wow.
you don't need stats. You just need me saying, "Yo, Arsenal not that good right
yeah,
now."
Yeah, I'm getting cooked by Sparkler over here.
No. But this is my explanation, and I think these festive fixtures in the Premier League are always a little bit like
where your depth gets stretched.
The thing
that
you expect to happen is probably not going to happen.
No,
right?
Not at all.
So we had the parlay in DraftKings, right?
Yeah.
And we were
cooking, boy.
We were doing it, right? Because it was a draw for Arsenal and Liverpool.
All the things the underdogs said not to do.
Both teams score.
Both the things the underdogs told us not to do, we did, and we were right.
Yes, and then...
And then there was one we all agreed on. And we were wrong.
Yeah, and Tottenham beats Everton. Uh-huh. Both teams score for Arsenal, Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Hit on both. And then the other one was...
Was it Burnley beats like
Fulham.
City?
Fulham. Fulham
beat. We had Fulham money line to beat Burnley.
Burnley,
bro, we got it.
Burnley,
that's a hit.
Can't nobody. Yeah, Burnley can't be nobody.
What was the score in that game? 2-0 Burnley.
2-0 Burnley.
2-0. Burnley.
I was watching that in the 88th minute. I'm like, this cannot be the way this whole parlay goes down.
Even Vincent Kompany was like, yo, I'm sorry I had to let you guys down.
Vincent Kompany had the parlay, bro.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, we just need two more goals.
Vincent Kompany is like, bro, I love these guys, but ain't no way.
So that was very unexpected. Unexpected results were probably the theme of these fixtures. And Arsenal...
losing
Arsenal in a bad run of form.
Losing to West Ham. They lost to Fulham
and West Ham.
And West Ham.
Yes, we lost to West Ham, Jamie, our editor.
So our editor is gloating right now. He was doing that on WhatsApp the other day. But this is look,
and without Paquetá, which is really frustrating.
The loss to I mean, what's more shocking, the loss to Fulham or loss to West Ham? I would probably say the loss to Fulham, in my opinion, given just the.
I actually disagree. I think the loss to West Ham was more shocking. West Ham played us in a way where what did we have? 30 shots? What, click on that. We had 77 touches in the opponent's box, which is the most ever in the history of the Premier League without scoring. 30 shots, 8 on target. This was embarrassing. The game against Fulham, we just looked gassed. We looked tired. Right. Again, everyone else takes breaks. England's like, what if we just keep playing every day, dude?
Okay, you were brought here to work.
Sorry, you want this passport back? It's just ridiculous. Look at this. 2.77 XG, and we scored 0 goals. This, I think this began the highlight of fact.
The goalkeeper made some unbelievable saves.
Areola is playing like Pete Casillas right now, and it is so annoying.
He was pretty remarkable.
For the last few games, I'm like, this guy can't be scored on.
Yeah, yeah.
He got 4 legs and 6 arms. I don't know how he does
If you're playing like EAFC, these are the games you have just once in a while. You're just like, okay, so this. You just got the icon, card.
Are you good? You team of the week, right? I mean, we literally camped out. I mean, look at the shot map. The shot map. It's ridiculous. We couldn't score in the box, out the box, around the box, next to the box, cousins with the box.
Kind of like me on prom night.
Hey, Christian beat you to it. Christian beat you to it.
He took a couple shots. None of them went in.
Missed them all.
She's like, get up and try again. I'm not, this time I won't move, I promise.
I just don't know where it is.
Yeah. That's my belly button.
It feels good though, right?
I'm done. I've been done. I've been done for hours. I'm trying to help you out here.
I'm just, I hope it feels as good for you as it does for me.
I'm asleep. To be honest with you,
the Pillsbury Doughboy enjoys it. Why wouldn't you?
Look at this. This is embarrassing, bro. 74% possession.
Yeah.
30 shots, 8 on target, 5 big chances, 91% possession, 91% accurate passes.
Yeah.
The
game against West Ham, it can feel like the fluke a little bit.
Can we stop talking about West Ham being a great team? They're playing really well right now. They're grinding out wins. I'm with the half of the fan base that wants David Moyes gone. So do I, actually. Could you have sacked him before the Arsenal game? I mean, but look, honestly, they've scored 33 goals. They've given up 30. That's not...
not great.
It's not great.
Yeah.
They've been on a great run the last few matches, four matches.
This holiday period feels just like, you sort of figure out what teams, you talk about depth, but also like stamina and how fit are the players? Can they manage? Like the game against Liverpool and then the game against West Ham was 5 days apart. So to me, this is a game Arsenal should win.
100%.
And you see the statistics. And then, but the game against Fulham, you can understand the game is 3 days apart from the previous one. Then your depth gets challenged and players probably just tired. And, I saw people talking about some injuries, right? Obviously, is Zinchenko's injured?
Zinchenko's fine. Tomiyasu's injured. Partey is obviously still out.
Yeah.
And now it looks like he's not going to AFCON. It just kept going. It just keeps going. And to be honest with you, I think Martinelli's had a really sort of bad season so far. Just not a great season. I think he's got 2 goals, if I'm not mistaken, maybe one. Things haven't been lining up the way they have in the past. A lot of people are now saying, like, I wish we wouldn't have sold, Granit Xhaka, so on and so forth. And I get that there's 2 parts for me as an Arsenal fan. Part of me wants to, like, once we took that step last season where I'm like, all right, now we're back in Champions League, I kind of want to be like Real Madrid, who gets rid of players right at their peak. Peak of their value and talent, so they could sell them for most. They've gotten their best, their best qualities. They've gotten the best out of them. They're starting that downward slide. They sell them for the most value and move on. And other teams are like, we're going to bring in this winner. I feel like we did that with Granit Xhaka. I wish we would have done that with Partey. I asked for him to be sold last summer. on this podcast. Not like I called Mikel Arteta.
I got you. I got a couple suggestions.
I got an idea. Who am I? You'll find out. I'm in your office. But part of me wants the team to do that. But I think the other part of that is you have to bring in other players that can carry that. And I think it took Havertz a little bit of a while to sort of get going, and now he seems to be going. And for me, the single question is, can Martinelli get going and can we score some goals? Dude, you can't. 77 touches in the opponent's box and not scoring at all is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if Martinelli got a new contract this year?
Yeah, he got extended.
Right? If Martinelli and Odegaard have the seasons that they had last season, if they had the season this season that they had last season, mm-hmm. which they contributed a lot of goals
to the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's probably the thing that the biggest difference and the biggest shock. Why aren't Martin Odegaard and Martinelli getting more goals or getting even more opportunities to score goals?
And I will say this. I think Odegaard has found that creative touch and those through passes and that sort of taking the game a little bit more control of the match. I feel like he's found that the last few matches. Unfortunately, it's going to players that aren't finishing those opportunities.
And I'll say this. I mean, the last few weeks, I think Martin Odegaard is maybe it's debatable. I think he's definitely my favorite player to watch in the Premier League right now. He is such a fun, just interesting player.
When I watch.
Right,
I'm
right.
Like, oh.
It's just one of those things of like, when you see like a white guy that can dance really well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Watching Martin Odegaard, you're like, bro, it's like, you got some black in you. Yeah. Like, it's a little bit something like, there's something else in there. When you move a little bit different.
Yeah, bro, was your neighbor Latino and your dad on a lot of business trips?
There's something, he's just like, my man got some like sauce to him. And you know, and look, he can even.
It's like the first time you see a white guy dunk, you're like, oh.
Well, he can even handle the ball in the box, and the refs are like, nah, bro, you good. Yeah. You know?
Look, okay. You know how many times we get screwed over? We got one, and it didn't even really help us when you think about it.
They were like, nah, Martin Odegaard's the homie, bro.
Yeah, but he was cooking, though.
I was watching those Allen Iverson videos last night. How did that happen?
The wicked handle.
What, he can't cross over? You're not allowed to cross over?
Damn, the game's dead.
It's a carry. It's a carry.
Bro, go ahead. Go to the VAR screen. I'm going to show you a Ray Adon video, but just go there anyway. I need you to see what sauce really looked like.
So, So look, I think this is it's not the end for Arsenal, but they
nowhere
look,
near
now,
it.
Now the complaint, I even saw you on Morning Footy talking about we need a striker. Just kind of a strange thing when you have two strikers that were pretty good last season, and Nketiah and Jesus, and now all of a sudden we need a striker. How do you think they feel hearing that?
Jesus, I continue to be on the team. Nketiah, I don't care what you say. No, honestly, in all honesty, I think Nketiah is like, the values he showed last season were like, yo, when we were down and we needed you and there was injuries, you came in and balled out, but it always felt tentative, you know what I mean? And now we're like, we need you. You come in, and I think we're starting to see like his qualities don't match up to the way Mikel Arteta plays. Okay. So, at the end of the day, if you're not going to be the guy that just gets in there and somehow manages to score and does something magical, you're going to start to lose the fans pretty quickly, and that's exactly what we're seeing now.
Look, this Arsenal this season, they've had some good games, but they've had too many of late, you know, stoppage time, winners and stuff like that, and it's like. They arguably they should have a little bit more control of these games. Like I mean, that game that Declan Rice in the late winner was like against Luton Town.
No, wasn't that United?
He had two.
Yeah,
but one was in United, and then Luton Town was the win.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, all right, why are y'all even in that position?
Oh, Luton Town's a lot better than they started the season out, and okay, so this is like some Arsenal fans believe that for the last two seasons, Arsenal have outperformed their XG. Mm-hmm. But this season, we're exactly performing our XG. So it feels like we've come down to earth a little bit. Some fans believe that like we're just underperforming at the moment and we'll be back to overperforming our XG.
Yeah.
Other fans believe that this is who we are. This is who we've been the whole time, but we've been sort of covering up for it with like some big, big performances. I even think back to the match against Bournemouth last season I was at, where Reece Nelson literally scores on the last kick.
Right, right.
You know, probably the, one of the most exciting sporting events in the history that I've ever been to. This, it was magical. It's something I keep thinking, I think about all the time. That team hasn't appeared so far this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need that back. So Dusan Vlahovic, remember y'all didn't want us, right? Will you come here now?
I heard Osimhen and Ivan Toney were the two other names for Arsenal.
Yeah, Ivan Toney is such a mistake to me. First of all, you're going to pay over $100 million for a guy who hasn't played football since, what, end of last season?
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple of months. So what's it going to take? A month, let's say, to get like... Yeah. And that's even not enough.
It's not a January signing for sure.
You're signing him in January, but you're not going to really get him like to his peak, to what he was doing at Bournemouth. You're signing him for what he was doing at Brentford.
Right.
You're not signing him because he's a tall guy and he can score some. You're signing him to be the effective striker that he was at Brentford.
Yeah.
To get back to that form, to that peak form.
It's going
to
take a while.
Let's say at least a month and a half. What were we talking about? End of February?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time probably that deal even gets it. Agreed on, we're talking about maybe March. You're paying $100 million for a month and a half,
Could
months?
They sell him for that much, given the issues?
And he shouldn't leave, bro. The team stood behind you when you was illegally gambling, bro. Don't leave now. Play the rest of the season and leave in the summer. Have some respect for this organization.
Stay with the lady that held you down, right? Bro. She visited you in prison.
You got caught doing dirt, and she snuck in some snacks for you. Bro, and she boofed a cell phone.
Oh, you love a good boofing reference,
bro. She boofed one of them weird foldable Samsungs. Those are hard to boof,
but that's real love.
Yo.
You got a boofer, you stay with her.
You gotta come on, come on, Tony.
So, a couple of the other teams in the top four, Liverpool and Aston Villa, I think are just really, really fascinating stories. I mean, we mentioned this before, just about Liverpool and all the changes that they made this season, and they had to get a whole new midfield. But it seemed like all the signings,
mm-hmm.
all the there's a sort of newfound kind of rejuvenation, even with Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Celebrating his goals, you know?
He's putting shushing everybody.
But like, yo, who can't defend, okay? Mm. I can't defend, but I'm in first place,
yeah.
I can't defend, but I got the trophy or whatever, right? You know what I mean?
I can't defend, but I just scored on your favorite team. How's that possible?
So that it's becoming a thing where Liverpool, I think, it hurts to say this as an Everton fan, but I think they're easily the best team in the Premier League. And
right now, Kevin De Bruyne coming back will change a lot.
You think that's
going to
change
opinions.
A lot?
Yeah, it's Kevin De Bruyne.
I mean, it is Kevin De Bruyne, but Manchester City are still looking like they have some, what is it? In a ship, like the holes in a ship or whatever, a sinking ship or whatever. Who knows?
They look like a couple hoes on a ship. What?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, the famous saying.
I think the Manchester City don't look as comfortable and confident.
Yeah, but weren't we saying this time last year? And then the charges dropped and they went on a run.
That's the thing about Man City. They can go on like a 10-game winning streak like so easily.
I don't know. Look, they had three games in a row where they dropped points.
I think so.
A couple weeks ago, it's I don't know. It's a little bit concerning, but to the degree where I don't think it's a lock for them to just to win the title.
No, but
so easily.
It also feels like ignorant to suggest that they're not. After having won the treble,
right.
and still being so close,
I'm not saying that they're
place.
Out of it completely, but
no.
I just think I think Liverpool are looking really, really good.
I think Liverpool are the most informed team in
okay.
the league,
definitely
by far.
Wataru Endo might be the best CDM in the Premier League, right? Like even better than Rodri. He hasn't had a bad game. Like,
no, he hasn't.
In
and
months.
He's looked absolutely incredible, and they need him, especially when you got Trent Alexander being like, "Weren't you the defender? What are you doing over there?"
I'm out here trying to show people my butt. Go defend.
Yeah, dude, this is how I take. Corners, bro. You gotta let it breathe.
Aston Villa as well. Just watching their games throughout the holidays.
Unai Emery, man.
Emery's not on the pitch out there.
He's got them
playing
ball.
Really, really
they're
well.
Really exciting to watch too. Like as
they
a
are.
Neutral, when I watch their games, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, there's a level of the last few years, especially since Villa came back into the Premier League,
you know, how certain teams, you know, when you go, like, for example, you go into Anfield or you go to Old Trafford, the expectation, especially as, like, the away team, mm-hmm. is just like, yeah, we're not going to have the ball. We're just going to have to just try to do our best or whatever. And Aston Villa is sort of becoming a team where it's just the confidence is instilled in the players where if we're playing at home, we should be the better team. We should dominate possession. We should have more chances than them. And I'm just, like, not used to seeing that from Aston Villa.
No, Villa Park is a fortress.
It is. Right.
It's absolutely incredible to see, especially with everything he went through. I think we've talked about that before. But there's a former player that you and I watched week in and week out at NYCFC,
mm-hmm.
who is now hurting your team's chances of staying in the Premier League.
Yes.
And Andoni Iraola.
The manager for Bournemouth.
What's going on, dog? 3 losses in a row?
For Everton, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's I would say the 3 wins prior in a row were more shocking than the 3 losses in a row.
But didn't we all feel confident that that's who they were? We're like, yo, forget the point deduction, bro.
I think what clearly needs to happen is the Premier League needs to deduct more points from Everton so we can get that fighting spirit back.
Imagine if instead of taking 10 at one shot, if they would have just taken like 2 points every week for 4 or 5 weeks.
It's like a reverse win for life.
life, if you will.
So no, Everton have looked pretty bad. I mean, the loss to Wolves was embarrassing.
Yeah, City you can understand.
City you understand, but Jack Harrison scored. Mm-hmm. He scored against the first goal against his old team that he never played for. But then and then the loss to Tottenham was not much of a shock. But the loss to Wolves. Which was, I believe, 3-0.
Yeah, that was a winnable game.
Even away at the Molyneux, you can't lose 3-0 to Wolves. I mean, that's just with all due respect to Wolves, but that is just that can't be the result. And they looked really, really bad.
It's
especially
tough.
In that second half, it all just kind of fell apart. So the other Nottingham Forest had a pretty amazing result against Manchester United, and you guys were talking about this a couple of days ago on Morning Footy. It was a great win for Matt Turner,
but he made another mistake. Then he made up for it.
He did make up for it. He had to make a save right after that, a big save to help them win the game. But it's an interesting. The goalkeeping issues, because they happen in a lot of games. Onana, the goalkeeper for Manchester United, had plenty. The defending in that game, the 2 goals were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing for Nottingham, right? Matt Turner got his starting job back from the other goalkeeper, gave up 5 goals one game, and they were like, all right, I guess.
Maybe we'll go back to the other guy.
We've seen enough. The American guy.
Right. Let's get hot dogs and french fries back out here.
We want the dog fight guy back. So they brought Matt Turner back, and he's had a couple flubs. And I'm glad that Nottingham won this game, because the story would have been the mistake.
The piling on would have been insane.
But
especially with Nigel Rio-Coker sitting next to me. God, he loves that.
But I think
Espírito Santo seems to like him and trust him.
Yeah, but then it begs the question, why are we still doing the playing out of the back? Matt Turner, he can play out of the back. He's not incapable, but it is the...
It's not his bag.
It's not necessarily his bag, but it also doesn't seem to be the team's bag. Like,
no, they don't know what to do.
They don't know. They're not...
They're like, how did this get here?
They're not setting him up. Like,
aren't you supposed to send it that way?
The bad pass that he had a couple weeks ago was... They sent him a ball a little too fast. And he had to make a decision very, very quickly with a defender closing down.
But is this just also 2 Americans making, excuses for...
No. I mean, look, yes, it is. I am making an excuse.
100%.
I am making an excuse.
By the definition,
yeah, we're blaming the defender for passing too hard to our keeper.
But it feels a little bit like... Oh, there's you. Okay. it feels a little bit like he doesn't need to be doing it. Like, there are moments where he's like, I got to pass it back. I have to play out of that. I can't just boot it.
And there are times where you're thinking, like, you're doing too much.
Yes. And it's like if you're the manager and you see that your goalkeeper is kind of going through these moments, just tell him, like, yo, bro, if you're a little nervous,
just kick it away. I don't want. I'm not trying to make you look bad. Hey,
give a gift to someone. We have a couple.
Awoniyi or something like that. The tall, the striker. Yeah. Yo, my man, he could probably get a first touch and control that ball.
Yeah.
So that's it. Just seems that they are like just dead set on this style of play, even in situations where it doesn't benefit the team. And that's where my concern is.
Here's where my concern: if he's not good at that, is he going to be good in a Berhalter system where you almost exclusively play out of the back?
Well, he is good in a Berhalter system, but we've already seen it.
Not if his confidence is shook.
But the type of pressure that a lot of the teams that he plays against in the U.S. men's national team are not. They don't press as hard. I mean, I'm trying to think of situations where he has made mistakes like that wearing a U.S. MNT shirt. And there aren't many. And because, look, the teams that we play, whether in CONCACAF or whatever, there's usually the U.S. is kind of in control of those games. So it's like the games that where he is in goal and not in control, which is kind of a bit of a reason probably why he went to Nottingham, because he has to play against a weaker defense than he was at Arsenal. It just seems a little reckless at times, because you're almost putting the player in a position to make these mistakes. That's why, and I blame not just the manager, I blame just even the teammates and the players. And we've heard this from players that we've spoken to. You know who you're passing the ball to, right?
Right.
Henri talked about once, you know, I want to make sure I pass to Pires on his right foot.
Wenger taught him, like, you know, he's not that type of player, so make yourself available in this position.
Exactly. And that's what I feel is not happening with Matt Turner. Put him in positions to succeed. Don't send him a rocket a striker closing in on him.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, but he does have the option to just kick it as hard as he can.
Yeah, and I highly recommend he does.
He can hit a fuacada, and we're like, yeah, we're going to do this over.
Okay. Everybody, regroup.
All right, let's start from the top.
Okay. Places, everyone. So fascinating. I think a couple weeks. And, you know, so the festive fixtures are over. Hopefully things balance again. And I'm hoping Everton stay up, because I don't like what I'm seeing. But there's been some interesting results, to say the least.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Real quick, I want to make sure before we leave England, Jadon Sancho. I was seeing the last couple days that obviously the move to Dortmund.
Yeah.
Which is now like official. I was seeing a bunch.
It's reported as official, and I don't think the teams have.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. So by the time you hear this or see this, it might be official.
It might be a done deal.
I haven't seen a here we go from Fabrizio, but he has tweeted about it, and it looks like it's kind of happening.
I'm happy for Sancho to at least get a fresh start. You know, young player, I think, played incredibly well when he was back at Dortmund. He's the type of player I root for. I want a player like this to do well. You know what I mean? Someone who showed flashes of brilliance, showed that he was, like, you know, wavy and felt like the next up. You know what I mean?
I want to ask this question with Jadon Sancho. And obviously, I don't know him personally. He seems like a good kid.
You're not in our group chat?
Okay. Well, I told you, invite me, bro.
Damn.
But he seems like a good kid. And so the whole story with, like, what happened, and he didn't like the way Erik ten Hag, like, spoke to him or said something to him. And he kind of, you know, stood his ground and said, like, no, I'm not going to apologize, because, you know. So these are all... It's all essentially a speculation and gossip. I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah, we're putting together what you hear and see.
But if that's what he truly felt like, that he was disrespected and he was not going to apologize, then, all right, look, it may not be the best for your career, but I respect that you have values and morals, and you had a boundary that was crossed. But now, outside of that, just my main question is, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if this is a question, but it's more of a statement. I don't know if Jadon Sancho is good enough for the Premier League.
I don't think anybody knows. We never saw.
Well, we saw
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer played him in the wrong position, on the wrong side. He was never really given that chance. And I think if you look back at his time, playing time in Dortmund, you know, Guerreiro would open that up. You know, the overlapping runs would open up space. He was given a lot of opportunity to shine. And in those moments, he shined.
Yes.
So I can sit here and say we know for a fact Jadon Sancho has that talent. Whether he can find that form again or whether maybe that was all he was, he couldn't reach a Premier League level is another question.
He got a couple goals, couple assists here and there.
I mean, he was playing really good with, you know, he had Jude Bellingham, he had Erling Haaland. I mean, he was balling there for a minute.
And
so
Dortmund.
Much so that they were paid, what, they paid 109?
Something like that. At least 100 million, I know for sure.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you don't just pay that for someone who was just kind of balling. Well, maybe.
I was going to say, is this more of a Manchester United thing or is this more of a Jadon Sancho thing? Because Jadon Sancho is not the only high-priced player that's come into Manchester United and not reached expectations.
Antony is another one.
Pretty much the entire team playing
right
now.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad signings.
Garnacho, all these guys.
Yeah. So Garnacho started to play.
Is it Manchester United's fault or Sancho?
Or is it Eric Ten Hag's fault?
I mean, look, the situation has to be right for certain players' talents to exceed. If you asked Mesut Ozil to be a defensive midfielder, he would have been a bad player. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He needs to have that freedom. He needs to play. That's one of the reasons why it wasn't so comfortable for him with Arteta, because Arteta's like, everyone has to defend. He comes from that Barcelona, that Pep Guardiola sort of system of your strikers are your first defenders and your defenders have to start the attack. Like, that's kind of what Mesut Ozil was like. I kind of just float around and do my thing. And then every once in a while, I hit you with a reel or a tech, you know? And he's like, it's not really going to work for us, you know? I think Jadon Sancho, not comparing him to Mesut Ozil in any way, shape, or form, Dortmund found the way to get the best out of him and put him in a position where he can absolutely shine the best. And when he gets to Manchester United, multiple different managers and being put in a situation where his talents weren't, he wasn't able to express his talents to the best degree. I can't sit here and tell you I know for sure he's a Premier League player, but I can tell you that we don't know for sure whether he is or he isn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, but the body of work that I have seen playing for Manchester United, it's just not great. And look, I could accept the possibility that, oh yeah, maybe it's he's just playing on a bad team and bad chemistry and a lot of front office issues. And maybe there were just a lot of problems behind the scenes. But I even when Manchester United were like looking pretty good and he was on the team, I don't think he's capable of doing what he did at Dortmund on Manchester United. And I'm questioning if he can do it for any club in the Premier League. I it feels a little bit like the level is just a tad high for the type of player that he is. He's not the most athletically gifted. He's not outrunning pretty much anybody. He's also not a Martin Odegaard sliding through through the pitch, getting through defenders, pinpoint passes. He's not like really a point guard. As far as like playing in the right position, what is the right position for him in Manchester United? Is it not winger? Is it maybe he belongs more in the middle of the field? I don't know, because he was playing on the left wing, if I'm not mistaken.
I think at Dortmund he was more right midfield, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
He was on the right. On the right.
Okay. But he was cutting in more than he was sort of going on the wing. At the end of the day, I think what we're talking about is a player who I think we can all agree wasn't put in the best position for him.
Yeah.
And then it soured. The situation soured. And this happens from time to time. And the most important thing to do is get an opportunity. This is good for both the club and the player. He's going to go back to Dortmund on loan. He's going to show, hopefully, that he is of that skill. And then maybe Manchester United can get him off the books in a deal that benefits him and they get some of their value back.
Yeah. I mean, look, that move from Dortmund, I think when they offered like 100 mil, they'll be like, yo, they actually offered 100 mil. Like,
wasn't that the rumor of what happened at Benfica when Liverpool?
Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, when they were like, I hope we get 50 million. And Liverpool's like, we're going to give you 85. And they're like, whoa. And everyone's like, take it. Someone's like, yo, ask for 100. And they were like, no, they'll never do that. All right, we want 100. Like, okay, deal. And they're like, I can't believe you got 100.
It's wild. So, look, I obviously hope for the best for him. But it's just a
I want to see him shine, man. I mean, he played well for the men's national team, for the English national team. Mm-hmm. So it can't be that he's a terrible player. It just can't be.
No, he's not a terrible
player. One, he's another casualty in the war, Manchester United war, against young footballers.
British media, for what it's worth, just, sorry, real quick before we move on, British media didn't help the situation whatsoever. Always looked at him as
Wait
like
a
scapegoat.
What situation has the British media helped?
You know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right.
Other than people who hate Meghan Markle.
Let's move on to Italia. And said, yeah, we have to. This clip was making the rounds of this is from
19F podcast, which is
19F podcast.
Moise Keane, Rafa Leao, and I think there's another player who's associated with it. Weston McKennie is a guest speaking full Italian.
My man, Weston McKennie, speaking amazing Italian. Just
and not like the Quesadice, Brooklyn, New Jersey Italian. He didn't say mozzarella.
Right.
He's actually spitting real Italian.
He didn't hit us with the forget about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. You say it ain't got no gabagool in the locker room. Okay. He came in on some real Italian. I swear to God, if one of my in-laws ever said that Weston McKennie is even more Italian than you.
So Weston McKennie, and just hear a little bit of his Italian, because it's pretty remarkable. Even Italian speakers are like, look, he has an accent, yes, yeah, but he's speaking pretty well.
Come on. Yeah, so he Rosetta Stoned a little bit, but he's here now.
Chiuso, non chiuso proprio.
La mentalità, dici?
Sì, qui in Italia è tradizione, lo sai. Questo va bene, però...
Okay, so look, so we'll get to the clip in a second, but I wanted to give him his props.
I also want to say it's pretty cool to just see a room full of black people speaking Italian. It's kind of dope.
It's just great to see, yeah. Especially after, I don't know, on TikTok, I see a lot of like vlogger, traveler people.
Yeah.
And then so now I'm on a TikTok of like black people who travel to different countries. Mm. And then after that, I'm on black people who travel to different countries, and let's rate one of the most racist countries to be black.
Which
and
seems
Italy,
like
Italy does
seems
not do
like
well.
A niche that is full of content. Italy not at the top of the list.
Italy's not great. It's not the not top is not. Look, it's hard to judge. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's
not for them.
No, it is.
We're number one over here, baby.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can judge easily, dude.
In the racist country power rankings, they're doing all right.
They're doing all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
are they meddling in the racist countries to travel to for black people? Olympics,
U.S. gold medal every year. Yeah, yeah. We're here.
So yeah, because a lot of people just kind of talk about like interacting at stores or Ubers or whatever, and it's just like you're not great. They don't speak too.
Reminds me of have you seen the 9-month cruise?
Stuff? Yes, yes, yeah, I've seen that.
that poor lady, this black woman's like, if I get asked one more time, do I work here? She goes, even the staff are like, yo, you're going through the wrong door. We got to go.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
And it's she's crazy. Like, I am on this boat.
And then when she was saying that, when she says like, oh, I'm on the cruise, they'd be like, how'd you afford it? Bro, it is just like.
Brutal, dog.
Man.
She got, that was a weekend. It's a 9-month tour.
Didn't they cancel it?
I don't know.
No, it's still going.
It's still going? Oh,
but people, so I think it broke up and people could buy just sections of it.
Okay.
And now those people are, some people canceled the whole tour and bought it all in sections because it was cheaper. And now they're not able to get into like the VIP stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're mad. let's go.
So
I want more cruise drama.
I think we can get you on the cruise for like a week, Alexis, just to film content. Oh, just being like
Christian and I on a 9-month cruise.
Bro. Damn, bro.
Damn. CBS will be happy about it. Like, what do you mean you're gone?
Mateo will be
months?
Like, where is my dad?
Yeah.
we come back to the studio with a super COVID that has never been seen before. Just the most powerful strain.
We have
strain.
All the strains, actually.
This version
it was
of
a buffet.
This version of COVID has collected all the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
it is the most powerful.
Can we get the sound of a plane going over my head for some of these jokes?
Anyway.
We're talking about Weston McKennie.
Weston McKennie, he's on this podcast, and he's speaking great Italian. Also, Weston McKennie speaks fluent German as well.
He
played in Bundesliga. Just, so it's awesome
remember
to see.
Remember that? They made him play center back at Schalke. Like
he's a Harry Potter expert as well, bro.
So there's some uncool stuff about him.
But
Speaking of uncool stuff about him, he's basically in this clip talking about how he wishes there were some changes in the culture of Italy. They're much more traditional. They're about tradition and not so much about innovation.
Yeah.
And I think we all, including the guests,
and
on
I'm
this
hearing
podcast,
I'm hearing this clip and I'm thinking like he's
talking about football.
Talking about football, like the game. Yeah. He's about to school the Italians on like,
good, it's about time, bro. This Catenaccio stuff is kind of boring. I'm like, he's really about to flex. And the example he uses is like how Italians seem to be upset with him. He's like, hey, I like pasta, but I like my pasta with pesto, pomodoro, which is tomato sauce, and chicken all together. And each one of those, if you just took two of those and put them together, it would disgust the Italians.
Because for us as Americans who eat Italian food, this is all normal.
Well, we eat Italian-American food.
Exactly.
And Italian-American food, you can have pesto and chicken and pasta. Mm-hmm. You can have pasta, tomato sauce, and chicken.
We've all been there.
You can have that. Very rarely do you see the pesto red sauce mixture.
That I have not
That's
seen.
That's a little crazy. Yeah, I was going to be like, yo,
when he said that, I'm thinking he's saying throughout the day. You know? I didn't think he meant in the same
plate. Not in the same jar. Yeah, you're not?
Damn. What ragu are you ordering? So you don't understand. Italians think it's crazy that we put chicken on pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
They think it's absolute. Do you not have room next to the pasta? They think it's crazy.
I mean, and yes, there are several black Italians here, but Weston is not that. Weston is a Texas
kid.
He's a
Texas boy. Remember, he was trying to explain to Gigi Buffon about how in America there's ranch dressing.
Yeah.
And he was like, salad cream.
Yeah, right.
Was it Chiellini?
It was Chiellini.
Yeah, yeah.
You put the salad cream on the pizza. No, you don't do that. So could you imagine he is starting a war with Italy by bringing up ranch on pizza and now pesto, red sauce, chicken, pasta.
I want to play this a little bit. And our audio listeners, you will not know what he's saying if you do not speak Italian. Obviously, people watching are going to see the captions. But here goes. You can just hear the reaction in the Italians as he's talking about it.
Aperto, più innovazione, meno tradizione, sai?
Sì.
Lo dico una cosa.
Per esempio? Per esempio?
Esatto.
Esempio, mangio pasta, pesto, pomodoro con pollo, così. E tutti qui in Italia, ma che schifo, dai, non
ma
posso.
Io ho detto,
proviamo.
Nello stesso
tutto
stesso.
Insieme?
Sì.
Pasta?
Pesto, pomodoro.
Che merda,
grazie. Guarda,
l'ho provato.
Però è vero.
Mai provata?
Non l'hai mai provata. Sì, per capire.
Però questo è il problema. Dice, sì,
magari
ma che schifo, però mai provata.
Vero.
E quando gli ho detto, c'è un piatto così adesso, e dice,
c'era,
sì, proviamo,
c'era la mia mamma.
No, non posso. Aspetta.
All right, yeah, that's basically it. So,
the woman, do you know who that woman is?
I don't know who she is.
So she's like, from what I gather, I don't know for sure because I've only seen like a couple of clips from this. She's like slept with a lot of Italian rappers because they keep asking. One of the guys asked her which Italian rapper has the smallest piece,
you
will. And she was like, if you don't answer, you have to take a shot. And she goes, I want to say because he deserves it, but I'm not going to say. And she took a shot. So she's done that and will not eat pesto.
She's like, I will not bring myself that low to mix pesto.
Pesto, red sauce, pasta, and chicken.
One of the guys, I forget who it said, he said, I would actually try that. Oh, provato. He's like, I would try that.
They're going to be like, you ain't a real Italian.
No, you're out of here.
Trade in.
It's Rafael Alao. It's like in Portugal. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. That's true. There is a dude in there with red Timbs. So maybe it's that guy.
Yeah.
Yo, bet. I'm gonna try that.
I love that, you know, that Weston is being true to himself.
He's keeping the Texas culture.
Because not only is he like, I want to eat the things I want to eat in Italy, but and saying like, you know, Italians react negatively to it. But not only is he just saying that, he's saying y'all are stuck in your ways.
Yeah.
He's out in Italy. Like,
I'm innovating. I'm the future.
What do you do? Yeah. Y'all in 2000 and late.
Wow.
Is
that a reference from a 2008 Black Eyed Peas song?
Fergie, greatest rapper alive,
Yo. Sir Alex. this is another embarrassing moment. But this also brings up a good topic. Like, I wish, or a good statement that I want to make. I wish food, as it traveled around this country, they added the adjective of where you're eating that. Like, if Cuban food in Texas, if they put ranch dressing on a Cuban sandwich, be like, okay, that's Texas Cuban food. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't say, it's just Cuban food.
You got to rebrand it. You can't.
If you go to a restaurant that's serving you pesto, chicken, and pasta alone without even the red sauce, that's Italian-American food. You know what I mean? Of course it's going to disgust Italians. You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense. I just love, it was a genuine,
Would you put ketchup on mofongo?
No.
Right?
No. Yeah, I mean, that's blasphemy.
Right?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Weston, don't you even think about it.
Bro. I'm going to slide over 17 sauces and some pasta and chicken before you do that.
Oh, you're at a Dominican restaurant being like, where are the Heinz? Yeah, bro. Not happening.
No, there's no Hunts 57
out here, bro. NWSL. Let's get to it because
we don't talk about NWSL. We talk about Gotham, bro.
We talk about Gotham and some of these.
Their free agency is open, and they're the only one opening that checkbook, bro.
There's 9 other dusty clubs that ain't doing anything during this offseason.
Bay FC, bro. You got out. The bar has been raised.
Because Gotham FC have in just the last couple days, not only do they sign Crystal Dunn, who came over from
the Piper,
the Portland Thorns. Yeah, that's right. And Tierna Davidson, who came from the Chicago Red Stars,
Rookie of the Year, or was it Rookie Defender of the Year?
She was on the World Cup winning team in 19, right?
Yeah.
So World Cup winners. And then we were hearing rumors about.
But mind you, this is the championship team.
This is the champion. They won it all.
They just won the whole damn thing.
The best team supposed to get the worst draft pick,
right?
And they're literally bringing in.
So we ain't even got room for you, bro. Because we buying.
This is like when the Warriors broke the single season win record and then signed Kevin Durant.
That's how it feels, bro.
So Tierna Davidson
replaces Allie Krieger. Yes. Right? Big
shoes to fill.
I mean, yeah, but also you went out and you got yourself a future star.
Yeah. And then on top of that, we just get the news.
Crystal today, Dunn, bro. And now
Emily Sonnet and Rose Lavelle are Gotham FC players.
Bro, this capitalism, because the rich are getting richer, bro.
Okay. This is, we're signing, the rest of NWSL being like, socialism is pretty good.
Yeah.
We need to switch it up.
Well, sorry, 9 other teams. You got to pull yourself up by your boots.
Okay.
Turn to Fox News, Gotham FC.
Bro.
We're all staunch Republicans all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
The free market dictates who will get the play.
It's a free market out there, bro. If you've got to get your money up, you dusty right now.
But this is pretty wild.
Is this that breaking a rule, bro?
We don't know what the salary cap is. NWSL has a salary cap, and Gotham is like, nah, we ain't doing all that.
Nah, bro. We just won. Yeah, we make the rules, dog.
Okay? We are the queens of NWSL. Yeah. We get to decide how things go.
Do you got the trophy? Because I think if you did, maybe you could make the rules.
So this is kind of, and look, it does kind of beg the question of like, how are they able to sign this many players? What are these kind of arrangements? What is
they already have
cap?
Esther. They already have Midge Purse. They already have Lynn Williams.
Yes.
This is insane.
Yes. So what is this team kind of even going to look like? I mean, we should. Think about the starting 11. What is the starting 11 really gonna be? Obviously, Lynn Williams, Esther, Midge Purse, them three up front. You would imagine Allie Long.
I forgot she was even on this team.
Would be back in the midfield.
You're gonna have
Rose Lavelle. Emily. How is it? Emily could play fullback and play in the midfield.
Yeah.
So you got a lot because you still have Bruninha, who's the fullback, Kelly O'Hara as well.
Kelly O'Hara!
So there's just so many remarkable players. This is the U.S. Women's National Team.
This is the U.S. Women's National Gotham team.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And players that are not even close to like end of their careers retirement or still, you could still imagine seeing several of these players at on the World Cup roster for the next Women's
Rose
World
Lavelle's
Cup.
What, 25, 26?
Yeah, something like that.
Bro, these are stars.
So this is going to be this. Look, I mean, you have to think Gotham are the favorites to win NWSL again.
Bro, they might win MLS.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Florentino Perez actually thought he managed this team.
This is such a strong team.
Or is the president.
And it's a good conversation to have of like that there can be an NWSL super team and that, you know, what are the salary restrictions supposed to be like? Is this going to be like an Inter Miami thing?
I hate to do this, but I got breaking news. Gotham FC have been asked to join the European Super League.
Okay. No. It makes sense. They have to give a statement about how they feel about the European Super League.
Because, I mean, at this point.
Because it is pretty remarkable. This is wild. I mean, when the Crystal Dunn.
We got to have them play Barca's women team, bro. This guy, I mean, they could probably beat the men's team right now, for sure.
But this team is, you know, when they signed Crystal Dunn. And Tina Davidson is an interesting one because she was dealing with she had an ACL injury. So, you know, the move from the GM Yael Averbusch-West is, you know, she gave Lynn Williams like the chance because Lynn Williams tore her ACL and she was supposed to play with the Current, didn't end up playing there at all, and took the risk and said, hey, we want to bring you here. We'll see what player you still are, but we believe in you. And this is, I think, what's similarly happening with Tina Davidson. We're still having that faith. But the thing I like is that because of NWSL free agency, this is the first time it's happened. Now players have a little bit of like, you know,
Crystal Dunn wanted to play back at home.
But like the way LeBron was having the conversations with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and they were all like in a group chat kind of. They called it what's the word?
Collusion.
We have like a little bit of.
Is it?
You don't think the Crystal group chat lit? Talking about like, yo, y'all, how about we all go to Gotham?
Yo, you don't think Crystal Dunn puts down the flute and says like, puts up a voice note that says like, yo, I think New York would be kind of nice this year.
Yo, and it feels a little bit like that. And I'm excited
to
see it.
Yo, yeah, I'm fine with it.
I'm totally fine with it. But this is the future, not the future of the game, but this is like a thing that we're comfortable seeing it in the men's game, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned Florentino Perez. Yes. How? What was his purchasing player strategy?
Drew Bellingham, and now they're talking like, Mbappe, you next.
Right? We saw the Beckham documentary, right?
Figo, Raul, all these superstars, and they're like, yeah, let's go get Beckham.
Exactly.
We got it like that. And then, Zidane. And
firing managers every 15 minutes. Because it's just like, yo, we do whatever we want.
Yeah.
We want the best players.
Money up to teach a man how to squabble.
So we need this in women's soccer. And I'm cool with it. Yeah. I think it's going to be great. I mean, Chelsea kind of does this already in England.
I wish they did it this well, bro. We signed these random guys that no one's ever heard of. These are like the stars of NWSL.
So you love to see it. It's going to be great. Gotham are going to have not only a great season, but an exciting season with some of the best players in the world playing on the same team. So
next, these fans got to come out, man.
Yeah. But
it's going to be exciting to watch.
That's the final piece.
Somebody said they look like they're trying to win the treble. What is it? The NWSL Challenge Cup, the Shield, and the League.
Okay. But there's no more Challenge Cup, though, right?
That's what they said.
Okay. Let's go.
But there is going to be another, isn't there like another in-season tournament that they're thinking about doing?
I don't know. I've heard that the conversation is about something, but we haven't gotten any details. So,
Might as well call it the Gotham Cup.
The last thing, we should wrap up.
Yeah, we should probably. Last thing is thank you. Thank you for joining us.
There's a couple MLS transfers, but
we can talk about it. It's going to continue. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Well, hopefully we got to invite Tommy Scoops on the show because he's doing a lot of work. During this MLS offseason.
Tomizio Romano, bro.
Okay.
Romano.
We got to figure out the
exact we'll get name. There, we'll bro. Get there. Don't worry about us.
So
we'll workshop it.
On Monday, we'll make sure we'll talk about the status of a lot of those moves in Major League Soccer because there's been a bunch of wild ones as well. Like I said at the top of the show, Happy New Year. We're excited about 2024.
Do you do resolutions?
Yes.
Yeah, what's one you can share with us?
I can share. Generally, it's more about two things: doing a couple more Cooligans projects. Like I think we, you know, we're in your face, in your eyes, in your ears.
Yes.
Consistently.
I'm glad you've picked up the slogan. Yes.
But there's a couple projects, more long-term things that I have in mind that I want to do. And what was the second one? Oh, just do more tour, more with stand-up. I want to be out, on the road this year and doing more stuff. So those are my two main ones.
You really want to be in their eyes.
I really want to be in their eyes.
It's crazy.
On your laps.
You know what mine is? This is one for all three of us. We're going to keep getting that money.
Okay.
Whether you like it or not.
We're trying to get our money up like Gotham FC, bro.
Bro.
We see how much they're spending out here, and we're like, yo, bro, you're making us look bad.
In fact, we got a superstar signing coming up. Us. We signed ourselves, bro.
Nobody saw it coming.
Damn.
That's my cap to reveal. So, always a pleasure. Seriously, 2023 was great. A lot of big changes happened for us. I had a kid, Alexis. Is on TV every damn morning.
It's wild. I'm waking up wild early.
But 2024 is going to be really, really great. And we're excited about everything going on here with DraftKings Network, Meadowlark, everybody, Miguelito out here coming through with the tan. He's going to keep the tan. Here. He's going to keep the tan all year round.
That's right. Tan. He's becoming more and more Latino.
Okay. It's just little by little. You're going to see it week in and week out.
Bacasepa. So, whoa, how did I do that?
Oh my God.
That was crazy.
Wait till he changes his car oil in a parking spot.
Man, bro. Y'all can't see it, but Miguelito just threw the wickedest curveball.
Yo.
Just absolutely.
It was actually a water bottle cap filled with tissue, bro.
So it's crazy. All right. So, we're excited about this year. We're going to do a lot of really, really fun stuff. Like always, big guests, big names coming through. And just so stick with us. We're always going to have a good time.
Obviously, shouts to us,
most
bro.
Fun show in footy, without
Let's
a doubt.
Let's go.
All right. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.